Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that as we hear your word,
we receive as we ought to receive. In the name of Jesus Christ,
there's no error in this atmosphere.
There's clarity in our minds. In Jesus' name,
amen. Hallelujah.
Glory
to God. Are you with me? Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 1 immediately. John chapter 1, verse 1. I want to discuss with us today on what I titled Pioneering and Sustaining a Walk.
Pioneering and Sustaining a Walk. Pioneering and Sustaining a Walk.
Hallelujah. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, without him, nothing was made that was made. So in him is life, and the life is the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness of the light, that all through him I believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man that comes into the world. Hallelujah. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children of God to those who believe on his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the word became flesh, and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of him, crying out, saying, this is he whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has exemplified him. He has declared him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
No. John's account in the four gospel looks
he neglected all the genealogies that Matthew and Luke would give. He neglected it, and then he crashed the whole of Genesis into 14 verses.
He said, in the beginning was the Word. That is the word Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now,
you find John also called Jesus the only begotten.
We find that in verse 14. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. I will beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father.
Hallelujah. He calls him the only begotten, monogenes.
Is the word that implies only, like when you use the word only child or only one. Do you understand me? You use the word only one, the only child. If we read verses 18, he says, no one has seen God at any time. See, the only begotten Son. Do you understand me? He added another 10 to this, say, begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has declared him. Look at verse 34. This is John the Baptist. In verse 29, he calls him the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world. Verse 34, he says, and I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you look at the four Gospels, from the four Gospels, Jesus is seen as the Son of God. From the scriptures, prophetically and by revelation, he is the Son of God. From the words of the prophet, he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. The four Gospels, both prophetically and by revelation, he is seen as the Son of God. And he is the Son of God because of the incarnation. See, and the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. That's how it is rendered in the original Greek. He said, in the New Testament Greek, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. Do you understand it? So now, the Bible now says, and the Word, which is God, became flesh and tabernacled amongst us. Do you understand? And the barnacles are all that is his incarnation. Do you understand me? That is his incarnation. And that incarnation is the reason why he is the Son of God. So Jesus is the Son of God by the reason of the incarnation. We'll see that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So an undeniable reality of the belief of the believer's faith is Jesus as the Son of God. It's an undeniable reality of the believer's faith. Look at what John will say in his epistles. John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. In his epistles. 1 John 2, 22. He says, who is a liar? He who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Did you see that? Look at verse 23. Say, whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at 2 John 9. 2 John 9. He said, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So, it's an undeniable fact. Reality. The undeniable reality of the believer's faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, and that was actually the reason why he was killed. Do you know something? That was the reason why Jesus was killed. Hallelujah. That's the reason why he was killed, because of his claim as the Son of God. Of his claim to deity. Do you know something? That was why he was killed. In fact, they said he blasphemes because he said he is the Son of God. Hallelujah. That was why he was killed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So at incarnation, he is the Son of God. In the incarnation, he is the Son of God. Now, here's something else I want you to know. In the resurrection, he is the first begotten. In the incarnation, he is the Son of God. And first begotten at the resurrection. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I will see that. We We'll look much more on this when we begin to discuss sonship. We'll discuss sonship. That will be in the month of August. Sonship. Hallelujah. So we'll look at the, we'll also see this again. Sonship. Our sonship. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 1, look at from verse 5 into 6. It says, "For which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today have I begotten you'? And again, I'll be to him a father, and he'll be to me a son." Verse 6. "But when he again brings his the firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all angels, let all the angels of God worship him.'" He uses the word firstborn for Christ at the resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And some of verse 17. "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead." Take note of that. "The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence." He's the firstborn from the dead. Meaning, you say he's the firstborn in the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Firstborn from the dead. Romans 8:29. It says, "From whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do you understand me? Among many brethren. So he's the firstborn because of what? There are many brethren. We're going to look at that. Hallelujah. Let's look at the word first begotten. Is the word prototokos. That's the word prototokos. When you hear the word firstborn, first begotten, is the word prototokos. It's gotten from two, is a compound word of proton and technons. Proton and technons. Hallelujah. Now, the word proton is the word primarily used, okay, is the word that implies first. Primarily, it is the word that, it is the word where every other thing or where everything determines. Do you understand me? Proton, like a model. Do you understand? Is it like a model? When you hear the word proton, it implies a model. Something, the first where every other thing determines or gets its source from. Do you understand me? So it's a model. Hallelujah. And you get the other word, technos. It implies to be born, to be a legitimate child. Hallelujah. That's the word. So when he says he is the first begotten, meaning he is the proton. Do you understand me? He's the proton technos. He's the proton child. He is the model son. He's the model son. Do you understand? Hallelujah. Did you get that? He's the model son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So he's the model son. Another word used for son in Hebrews, where we read, is the word heos. U-I-H-O-S, heos. Is a word that implies children to possess. So whenever the word heos is used, there's always an inheritance around it. Talking about an inheritance, something to possess. Hallelujah. In Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 2, he calls him, God, who has sundry time and in various manner or in various ways spoken time past to the Father by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir. Did you see that? Of all the words of the prophet. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Look at chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 9, he calls him son. Hallelujah. Calls him son. Hebrews 1, 9. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 1:8. Then, to believers in chapter 2, verse 10. He said, for it is fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Do you understand me? Now said, for he who sanctified, and those who are being sanctified, are all of one. For this is not ashamed to call them brethren. Did you get that? Hallelujah. So at the resurrection, the man who is identified with Christ in his resurrection, that is, to be born again, hallelujah, is a son. It's not called what? A son. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So who is the model son? Christ is the model son. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he uses that for us in Romans 8, verse 14. I will need to clarify something here quickly. Romans 8, 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Are the sons of God. Look at verse. It says, verse 16. The Spirit said, bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Even if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. Hallelujah. Now let me quickly point out something here. We are sons of God. Hallelujah. We are sons of God. Huh? Christ is the Son of God. Listen to me. I want to point out something here fast. Look, Pastor Shev will share something with us of how a brother started saying, you know, we are heirs of God. Remember I said whenever I use the word heirs, within that context you find what it is children to possess. You know what I mean? You have something like you have an inheritance in view. Do you understand me? We'll look at it when we discuss sonship. We'll look at all these things deeper. Now, look at something. He said, the guy was not quoting, and I said, we are heirs of God. We are sons of God. He was going somewhere. Hallelujah. He's going somewhere. And I said, do you know, if, let's say, tomorrow, God is no more. This is, God is no more. And they need somebody to occupy the throne. We have equal rights as Jesus. You should know that kind of weed is just coming from Jamaica. As I should know, that kind of weed just arrived from Jamaica, very fresh. Do you understand? Who will even make you think of that? Do you understand? You must understand the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, he is not just the Son, he is the Lord. Do you understand me? Eh? He is the Lord. In fact, you must never say we are equated with him in sonship to God. Never say that. Is that right? Hallelujah. Never say that. Because he is the Lord. Our sonship is derived from him. That was what I mean. Our sonship is derived from him. He is the prototokos. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the prototokos. He's the protonios. Did you get that? He's the protonios. So we derive our own heels, our own sonship, our own technos from him. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. He said he's one who brought sons to glory.
So our sonship is because we identified it with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is the Son of God. And because he is, listen, I want to say something. Remember, because he's the first begotten, he's the model. So he's a model for sonship.
Jesus is a model for sonship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's a model for sonship. Also, in the epistle,
he is called a servant. We'll look at that shortly. Philippians 2. Are you there? Verses 8. For verse 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah. He said, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Hallelujah. He said, being found, taking the form of a bond servant. Hallelujah. He's called a servant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2. Let's quickly watch to Hebrews 2. This is verse 7. He said, speaking about Jesus,
he said, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is, in his human, he became, that is his incarnation. Hallelujah. That is his incarnation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The writer, Paul will say he took the form of a born servant. Jesus at his incarnation, he's the Son. Right? But in his ministry, or his ministry reveals his servanthood. Meaning,
as part of your sonship is servanthood. Servanthood is in your sonship in ministry. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Servanthood is in the sonship. Hallelujah.
Did you get that? Hallelujah. As part of sonship is servanthood. Glory to God. So it is safe for us to say that he is the Lord who became a servant. Right?
Right? Remember, says the Lord, right? He's the Lord who became a servant. He's the Lord who became a servant.
I wrote something that says, so Jesus at the resurrection is the model son. And in his sonship, he is the model servant. Did you get that? In his sonship, he is the model servant. He models for us what servanthood will be. He is the model servant. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's see what Jesus will tell his disciples in Matthew 20 quickly. Matthew 20, verse 24. What Jesus will say. After John and James, the sons of Zebedee, came with their mother to inquire for a position. Now, when the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. Then Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great amongst you, let him be your servant." Diakonos. Let him be your servant. However, desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Hallelujah. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give himself as a ransom for many. Meaning, at the resurrection, this what Jesus is telling them is what they will find as the believers' what? Work, or as the believers, or as a recipe for spiritual growth. At the resurrection. Do you understand me? So he said, just as, meaning he is the model. He is the model servant and the model slave. Did you see that? He said, whoever wants to be the greatest must be your minister, must be your servant. Right? And also be your what? Your slave. Now that word minister, or the word servant, is the word diakonos. It means someone who needs to minister to another. And who is the model? Christ. Hallelujah. Someone who needs to minister to another. The word slave is the word doulos. Someone who you have to work for. Or who you have to work for you. Who you hire to work for you. Someone you hire to work for you. Slave, doulos. So Jesus is the proton doulos. Is the proton diakonos. He's the model servant. He is the model slave in ministry. You get that? Hallelujah. In his sonship, he models servanthood to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you say Jesus is both our model son. I mean, he's both our model servant and Lord. He's our model servant and Lord. Yes, and he's our model servant, and he's the Lord. He's in ministry. He's the only one who rewards. Jesus, the Lord, is the only one who rewards. Ministry is to him. Ministering is to him. It's not to Pastor Smart. It's to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? It's to him. He's the only one who rewards. Salvation is by faith, we know. But ministry is your obedience. Salvation is by faith. Ministry is your obedience. In ministry, you place him above every other thing. You don't equate him with something. No, no, no. You place him above every other thing. Every other thing. Glory to God. Luke 9. Look at Luke 9. Quickly. Luke 9. Verse 57. Now it happened that as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And he said to him, "Foxes have holes, and bears have air. And bears of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." For he said, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." That's it. That sounds sympathetic, right?
let me go bury my father. Say, oh, what I'm going to bury and come. Was that, is that how it's supposed to be? Well, let's see.
Hallelujah. Let's see what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Take note of that. Another said to him, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go first and bid them farewell who are at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand on the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus saying here? What is Jesus saying? He's telling us that in ministry, you bring ministry first. To place anything above ministry, he disqualifies you. He's one who disqualifies. Hallelujah. He disqualifies you. If you don't place anything above the work of ministry, he disqualifies you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he's the one who disqualifies. Ministry comes before burying the dead.
That's what he told him. He said, you go preach because you go preach the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah. 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 So how we go about this assignment is very important, because we must give account of it. We must give account of how we carry out this assignment in the earth. We'll give account of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 3. So we must give account of what we do in ministry. We must give account. Hallelujah. Before we look at this Matthew 4, I want to show you something from Luke quickly. This should be chapter 14. We read that yesterday. Luke 14, verse 26. Okay, look at it again. Luke 14, verse 26. See, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He said, whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Hallelujah. What is Jesus saying? Hate your father, hate your mother. It means place priority. The priority is on the work of ministry, is on Christ. Hallelujah. You get that is our priority. Our priority is on Christ.
When other things are beclouding the work of ministry in your life, you're not placing Christ above them. Hallelujah. He is the
first. There's a Christ should be the first. Ministry should be the first. Where it should be the proton where every other thing takes. Or where every other decision is made. Do you understand me? Should be the proton that determines others. Do you understand me? Hallelujah. Is the first.
Let's look at Jesus Christ in that Matthew chapter 4 asks us to open. Matthew 4:22. And immediately they left the boat and their fathers. And their father, and followed him. And Look at verse 23. And went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. Look at chapter 9, verse 35. He said, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we see that our Lord Jesus our Lord, was found preaching. We look at Luke chapter 3, verse 21. He was found praying. Luke 22, he was found praying. Luke 18, he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint and not to turn out badly. Give a parable. We find him fasting. Hallelujah. So we find Jesus preaching, praying, fasting. Do you understand me? Preaching, praying, fasting. Always. Jesus was in the activity of ministry. Was found in the activity. Inactivity cannot be Christian living. You cannot be a believer and be inactive. Inactivity cannot be a Christian living. This goes out for all pastors, all leaders, in every sphere, in ministry, all brethren. You cannot be found being inactive. It is not a Christian living. It is a Christ-like living. Hallelujah. We'll find the apostles. We're scattered all abroad preaching Christ. Inactivity cannot be Christian living. No, it cannot be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, Pastor Shepard will say activity shows life, purpose, and mission. Activity shows life, shows purpose, shows mission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As a minister, you cannot stay off activity. You cannot. You must always be found discipling men. You cannot stay off activity. You must be found discipling men. You must be found praying. You must be found fasting. You must be found preaching. You must not be inactive. You must be found discipling, preaching. Hallelujah. 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 To be found in inactivity, to be found not preaching, not discipling, you are letting the fire down. You are letting the fire down. Watch it. Hallelujah. You are letting the fire down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is no inactivity in Christian. There is no inactive Christian who is living right. You cannot be out of activity and you are living right. No. Hallelujah. And as believers, you should be careful of fellow believers that are inactive. Because they can drag you down. A believer who is inactive, you should be careful of such. Once a believer is inactive, be careful of such believers. Because they can pull you down. That is association. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be careful of inactive believers. Very careful. Because no inactive Christian is living right. You cannot be a believer and you are inactive in ministry. You are inactive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot be wrong. Or you cannot be in excess when you are found praying, teaching, preaching, discipling. It cannot be excess. Hallelujah. You are found preaching, praying, discipling men, preaching. Hallelujah. Evangelizing. You can't be wrong. You can't be in excess. No. No. Hallelujah. No right thing is in excess. No right thing is in excess. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know,
There are some brethren who, there are some people who try to give excuse for inactivity. No excuse can be tolerated for inactivity. Acts 10:38. How the Lord anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. I mean, with the Holy Spirit and with power, he went about. Right? He went about doing good. Healing all who oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38. How the Lord anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power he went about doing good. Healing all who oppressed of the devil. Jesus, who is our model, was found in activity. Did you see that? So there cannot be an excuse for your inactivity. The Lord God, the Lord Most High, in his incarnation was found preaching the gospel. So there cannot be an excuse for inactivity. They cannot. Hallelujah. Do you understand me? There is no excuse why I'm not preaching. There's no excuse. Sir, but there's no excuse. Hallelujah. So it's good we stop giving ourselves the excuse. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is active in ministry while he was on the earth. So he's our model and he's active. Hallelujah. You see, you cannot say you follow Jesus and you are not active in ministry. You cannot say you follow Jesus. You cannot say you are a follower of Jesus and you are inactive and you are not active in ministry. You cannot. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You cannot say that. You're active. Look at, he calls us laborers. Look at verse 37. And when, okay, look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that to send out laborers into his harvest. Look at that word, laborer. It's the word ergatis, E-R-G-A-T-I-S, ergatis. Ergatis, E-R-G-A-T-I-S. It's the word that implies someone who toils. Ergatis, someone who toils. Someone who works, who toils. You find the same word in 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. He said, let the elders who labor. 1 Timothy, let's go to 1 Timothy first. So let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those who labor in word and doctrine. So, as a believer, you must be found. You see, those who labor in word and doctrine. So you labor to study. You labor to learn it. You labor to teach. Hallelujah. You labor to teach. When you must have labor to study, labor to learn it, and you teach. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at that Matthew chapter 9 again. When he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the harvest. When he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, what did he do next? What did he do next? When he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, he sent them out in chapter 10. Hallelujah, verse 1. And he called the 12 and sent them out. So therefore, they were the laborers in the harvest. Hallelujah. So when he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest, you are first of all the laborer in the harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Despite the fact that the laborers were few, the work still had to be done. Hallelujah. The work still had to be done. So he sent the 12. Before you pray for laborers in the harvest, you are first the laborer. What are you doing? What are you doing? After prayer retreat 2019, what will you be found doing? What will you be found doing? Hallelujah. Say, I'm not an inactive believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you are the answer first.
It is important that as a disciple of Christ, you will carry out Christ's act in your attitude, in your conduct, and in your pursuit. You must carry out Christ's act. He sent them out to carry out his act, which is the act of ministry.
Hallelujah.
The act of ministry. So as a disciple of Christ, you must carry out his act. You must carry out his act. As a servant, as a slave for the gospel, you must carry out the act. It will be seen in your conduct, in your attitude, in your pursuit.
Glory to God. See, my pursuit is different from that of Christ. Hallelujah.
It must be seen in your pursuit. So therefore, as a believer,
Christ's pursuit becomes the center point from which every activity in our life is derived from
or is decided from. Christ's pursuit is the center activity
or is the center point from which other activities in life is decided from.
You don't decide or
Christ's activity from your own activity. No. Christ becomes the center point.
His pursuit becomes the center point where you derive your own activities from. Your pursuit must be aligned with his own.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God.
I had an encounter with a client of mine, and he just kept talking about how young guys are going out of Nigeria. He said even he has shipped his children out of Nigeria. He said ship them. I was laughing. The young guys, every one of them have little money to move out, and it's true. And I said, like you now, very soon you will leave Nigeria. I said no. He said what? Tell us something. He said what? I said I can't leave Nigeria. He said you are the first youth that I'm hearing saying that. I said yes.
He said why?
I said because I'm a minister in this land. I'm a minister in this land. Glory to God. In as much as people find it cool to travel out of Nigeria, some people say, when I leave Nigeria, I will do ministry there. The ministry you cannot do here.
Ministry you cannot do here. When you go, you understand? When you go there, you don't want to do ministry there. Bro. I can count several people that could not even do ministry here. They could not even do ministry here. They went there. Till today, they've not started anything. All we just saw was one Facebook Live post. And after which, we didn't see them again. Bro, what is happening? I'm attending church. Hallelujah. You can be inactive here. I want to be active there. Hallelujah.
Do you understand me? So, the center point of my own activity, or Christ is the center point where I get my activities from. Christ's pursuit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if today I get a work, or I get a contract, or a job outside Nigeria, I'm not going to do, I'm going to decline. Why?
Because of Christ's pursuit.
But when we're going to say, you know, the Spirit of God is everywhere, I can go there. No!
Hallelujah. Did you get that?
No. Christ pursued first.
Hallelujah.
Do you understand that? Christ pursued first. If I have an opportunity to do my master's abroad, I will decline. I will decline. Why? Christ pursued first. Did you get that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the character of Christ's disciples is Christ's pursuit. The character of Christ's disciples is carrying out Christ's pursuit. The moment at the resurrection, what were the disciples doing?
They were carrying out Christ's pursuit in the earth.
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? Christ's pursuit in the earth.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. It is Christ walking through you. It is Christ walking through you.
In Matthew 28,
verse 18 to 20, he says, all authority has been given unto me. He says, in heaven and on earth. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. A disciple of Christ is mission minded.
How is the nation make disciples? Mission minded.
Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witness to me. Hallelujah. You shall be witness of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. A disciple of Christ is mission minded. Hallelujah. He's mission minded. In Luke 14, verse 23, where we just read, verse 23, where we just read, and Luke 9, where he spoke about the young man who wants to go bury the dead, it shows you something. Luke 9, 26, rather. It shows you that being a disciple requires putting Christ first. It requires is a lack of comfort. It's not a walk of comfort. You cannot serve. I said this to pastors on the platform. You cannot serve God from comfort. Hallelujah. It's lack of comfort. Hallelujah. You lose your comfort. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You lose your comfort. It requires you to. It requires a lack of comfort. In that Luke chapter 9, verse 60, preaching the gospel is above burying the dead. You will lose your comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, he who put his hand on the plow looks back is not fit. In verse 62. That is to say, preaching the gospel is above comfort. You don't preach when you feel like, no. You don't pray when you feel like, no.
Hallelujah. If you pray when you feel like, you preach when you feel like, you are not serving right. You're not serving right. Hallelujah. You're not serving right. If you go for prayer retreat when you feel like, you're not serving right. Glory to God. It must be that discomfort. The disciples say, Master, we've left all to follow you. We have left all. We've lost our comfort to follow you. We left all to follow you. Big. We left all to follow you. Preaching the gospel is our priority. Getting men saved is our priority. Doing the things of the kingdom is our priority. Ministry is a work that requires your full attention. There is nothing like part-time ministry. If you want to make it part-time, you're not into ministry. It requires your full attention. You're not giving some of your attention. It requires our full attention. No matter what happens or where you are, you must be mission-minded.
Don't say, hey, I am in Abuja now, or I'm in Benin now, only do this when I'm in Lagos.
You must be mission minded. Hallelujah. You must be mission minded. You must be ministry conscious. Are you hearing me? You must be ministry conscious.
You know something? When you have competing demands, ministry comes first.
They will see, they will be competing demands. There will be things I want to compete. Okay, I want to achieve that. Ministry must come first.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm serious. But it's have to come first.
completing the mark.
I've had competing demands. There are some things I've forgone. There are some exams I should have written that I've forgone because of ministry.
Yes,
the exams I should have written I've left one side because of ministry. You understand? Because if I have to write those exams, I will not, you will not be seeing me on Saturdays and Sunday for meetings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
When you have competing demand, ministry should be forced to you. Forced will mean it determines how others will go. That's what I mean by forced. It should be protoned to you. Let me use it like that.
Ministry should be protoned to you. Because that is, it's forced because it determines what others should go or how others would go.
This is the cross Jesus spoke about that we must carry. That's the cross we must carry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, competing demands and desires will come. Competing demands and desires will come over and over again.
Don't think it will come once. It will come over and over and over again. It will keep coming. But you must never lose the mission mind. I mean, you must never lose sight of the mission. Ministry first.
Never lose sight of the mission.
Never lose sight. Ministry first. They must come. It will keep coming. These competing demands are tests.
It will not come once. To come over and over and over again.
You are tested over and over and over again with these demands.
But you know, ministry comes first.
Hallelujah. If ministry is first in your mind, this ministry is first in your mind, those competing desires would have no place.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So in ministry, things don't just happen. Things don't just happen.
I'm discussing with us about ministry. In ministry, things don't just happen. No. Men pay the price. And the price is your comfort. Men pay the price. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Men pay the price. The price to learn, the price to study, the price to preach, to disciple men. Men pay the price. It comes before your desires. Ministry comes before your desires. Ministry drowns your desires. It drowns your desires and burns your heart with ministry desires, which is to see men saved.
Or what Christ desires. There's always a test. There's always a test. Just like Paul said yesterday when we read Acts 26. You cannot say you are committed to the heavenly vision and you are not on the assignment. You are not in the activity. A man who is not in the activity is not committed. I bet to say a man who is not in the activity of preaching and raising men is not committed to the heavenly, is not committed to the heavenly vision.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in starting a walk, for those of us who might be going to school this year, those of us who are already in school,
in starting a walk and sustaining a walk.
When you talk about walk, I'm talking about the ministry. In starting a walk and sustaining a walk, you must understand that you are not sent to specific people. We saw that Matthew 28, make disciples of every nation. Mark 16 verse 15. You are not sent to be a specialist.
No, I know. I've always said this right from day one in ministry. right? And when I used to say I'm not a faith pastor, the preacher would say I'm a grace pastor. But you are not a specialist in any part. So I'm a prosperity pastor.
Hallelujah. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are a minister all round. You see, those people who say I am a specialist in this, they are lazy believers. They are lazy ministers. Sorry to say it, but they are lazy ministers. Because you are sent to preach Christ and Him alone. So you are an all rounder. He must preach the Bible. It's only lazy people that want to specify on, they just know one truth and want to teach one truth of the scripture. Just one truth. No. Yes, they call them one-sided preachers. Stay away from such. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do you do? What do you do? You prayerfully start. And you continue steadfastly in prayer. So, meaning,
I'm going to say something shortly. You must, at the start, have 90% of prayer. You find that in Jesus, when Jesus was to start the ministry, when he was to be baptized, Luke 3:21, he was found praying. Luke 6:13, he withdrew himself to pray. John 17, he was found praying. Luke 22:44, he carried his disciples to pray. Hallelujah. So at every point, you must be found praying. You must pray at every point. Do you know what I mean? You must pray at every point. John 17, Luke 22:44. You must pray at every point. Don't say I've prayerfully started, so let me stop. No. You must be found praying at every point. Do you understand? Hallelujah. But the one who is just starting, you must pray 90% of the time. You take people with you, the ones you are discipling, you pray always. You must be found praying always, 90% of the time. That's how you start. That's how you start a cell. I start a cell. An HCF must be found in the activity. Don't say I'm an HCF. My activity is my cell members. It is my cell leaders. No. Hallelujah. He must be found discipling men. The moment we discover that we are not discipling men, the moment we discover that you are not doing this, you will not, that position is not high and mighty. We will just step you down. Just as I mean, because it must be an example. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
You must be found doing this.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So you must step up constantly in prayer, in your prayer life. You must step up constantly in your prayer life.
In Acts of Apostles chapter 3 verse 1, the apostles had a prayer time. So you must fix a prayer time.
Hallelujah. In Acts of Apostles chapter 2 verse 42, they continued in the apostles' doctrine,
in prayer and in breaking of bread. Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verse 31, when they were persecuted, they still prayed. They stepped up in their prayer. Hallelujah.
In Acts 10 verse 1, Peter was going to pray.
Peter had time of prayer. Hallelujah.
Do you understand me? So you must understand that. Then you go a step higher. You support your prayer with fasting. You support your prayer with fasting.
Very important.
Talking about how to pioneer and sustain the work. You pray, you fast.
You have personal vigils. You pray, you fast. You pray, you fast. Hallelujah. Just take our time to fast. I'm praying.
You're already God. You're not fasting for something to happen. You're fasting because it's part of your exercise.
Do you understand?
Hallelujah. It's part of your believer's exercise. Then you'll be focused. You'll be focused. Your focus is of utmost importance. You must be focused.
Don't give heed to distractions. Don't give heed to distractions. Acts 6. Look at the apostles. When they were disputed concerning sharing of food, Peter said something. Verses 3. Verses 4. They say, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Do you understand me? So you must be focused.
You can overcome distractions when you are focused. That doesn't mean you can overcome distraction when you are focused. So be focused. So a Christian life calls for concentrated focus. You must be focused. It calls for concentrated focus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at, what are you focused on? Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ. Hallelujah. You are focused on the sheep. Which you are focused on the disciples. Acts 20 verse 28. Acts 20 verse 28. It says here. It says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to the flock. And to the flock among whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So you see, you are focused on the disciples. They are focused on the disciples teaching Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts 8. From verse 14. You're not focused on money. You're not focused on money. Like Simeon came with distraction. He came with money to see if he can buy, if he can connect into the anointing. We can connect into what, let me read our brother God's Pentecostal life. Hallelujah. Or charismatic life. Let me tap into the anointing. Let me tap into this grace. That is distraction. That is distraction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 19 of Acts 8, saying, give me power also, and anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Hallelujah. 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 When they say you offered him money, it might imply giving him direct cash or showing him to wealth, showing him to distractions. Are you hearing me? So you avoid distractions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You'll be focused. The emphasis on ministry must be maintained, which is the gospel. Which is the gospel. I want to show something quickly. You must be focused on the gospel. Is that what I said? Look at 2 Timothy 4 quickly. 2 verses 2. Okay. Okay, chapter 4, verses 2. It says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Say, for a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because of their itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside. But you, be watchful in all things. Jesus said, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist to fulfill your ministry.
Hallelujah. Meaning in teaching, in the work of ministry, your members or the people do not tell you what to preach. You are preaching Christ alone. Hallelujah. You don't preach what people want to hear. You preach Christ alone. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Christ is the focus of your teaching. So the reason why Paul, in 1 Timothy, when I tell Timothy, say, be. You tell him to take heed. Take heed to thyself. And to thy what? Ministry. Hallelujah. 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 In 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16, you say, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine. Continue in them. This is, take heed to yourself, to the doctrine, to the teaching. Hallelujah. So it must be concentrated, must be maintained on the gospel. The emphasis on ministry must be maintained, which is the gospel. Not your belly. Not your belly. That is not to fulfill your own pride. No. It must be the gospel. Hallelujah. Not your belly. Not for your own material gains. Look at Romans 16. Romans 16 verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, not those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Look at verse 18. For those are such who do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the heart of the simple. Hallelujah. So in ministry, you don't serve your belly, you serve the Lord. It's not for material gain. Second Corinthians 2 verse 7. We're not of them who peddle the word. Verse 17, sorry. We're not of them who peddle the word. Hallelujah. Who peddle the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your focus is on men. First of all, is on discipling men. Your focus is on men, discipling men with the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your focus is on men, and you're discipling men with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on it. On men, and on discipling them with the gospel. Keep your eyes on it. Pastor Shekhu will say, keep your eyes on the ball. That is the ball. You keep your eyes on the ball. What is the ball? Those you are mentoring, those you are teaching, and the message. Paul would tell Timothy, take heed to the what? To your doctrine, the message, the gospel. In Acts 20:28, to the flocks. Hallelujah. So you keep the ball. Keep your eyes on the ball. Keep your eyes on it. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on it. You must understand that in ministry, in getting to start up ministry, or in ministry you are carrying on, you must know that it is the work, you are doing the work of a parent. Hallelujah. You are doing the work of parentage. That is the highest form of parentage, spiritual parentage. That's the highest form of parentage. So you're doing the work of a parent. Hallelujah. So you must spend time to teach them. You must spend time to teach your. You must spend time to teach. It's not something you do one off. It's not one off. No, you spend time to teach. That's how you sustain ministry. That's how you sustain ministry. Hallelujah. You spend time to teach. Your everyday meeting should be a teaching meeting. Or let me put it like this: 90% of your meeting should be teaching meetings. Never lose sight of teaching meetings. Never lose sight of teaching. Never lose sight of teaching. Hallelujah. Never lose sight of teaching. Hallelujah. Never lose sight of teaching. You must spend time to teach them. You must culture them to pray. You must culture them to pray. You must culture them to pray. Just we are in prayer retreat. We were cultured. It's a culture to pray too. Hallelujah. You must also disciple them in such a way that they will be able to disciple others. 2 Timothy 2:2.
Hallelujah.
The things which you've heard from me among many brothers, the same commit to faith, so men will be able to teach others also.
Hallelujah. 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 He said, in sustaining and pioneering a work, you must have time for people. You must have time for people. You must have time to check on your flocks. You must have time to do follow-up. You must have time to do follow-up. A serious believer who is in the work of ministry does not joke with follow-up. Does not joke with brethren. Does not joke with disciples. Does not joke. Just the same way a mother or a father will not joke with the child. A serious father and mother will not joke with the child. Right? You don't joke with your disciples. So you spend time to pray for them. You must have time to pray for them.
Hallelujah.
Have time to pray for them, the Pauline prayer. And you teach them. You teach them. And you keep teaching them.
Hallelujah.
When it looks as if they are not catching it, keep teaching them. When it looks as if they are slow, keep teaching them and keep praying.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Don't reinvent the way. Keep teaching them. Remember, we said something yesterday. Teaching is a routine. It's the same thing you are teaching. Christ and Christ alone. Hallelujah. You keep teaching them. Hallelujah. You keep teaching them. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are some things that maybe when I thought at first you did not grasp. But over the time, as you keep hearing the word, you're understanding those things. Hallelujah. So you keep teaching. Hallelujah. You keep teaching. You keep discipling. You keep teaching. You keep discipling. Hallelujah. You keep your eyes on the ball. You keep your eyes on the ball. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus will say, no one who wants to build a house, before you build it, I say, sit down and count the cost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the cost is your comfort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll throw a question to us, and the same question Pastor Shego asked during Carnegie Camp meeting 2019. How far are you going to go? How far are you willing to go preaching Jesus alone? How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go preaching Christ alone? How far? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you must stay focused. You must stay focused. Say, I'm focused.
I'm focused.
I'm focused. Hallelujah. You must stay focused and inspired. Keep your heart straight. Keep your heart straight. Keep your heart straight. Hallelujah. Always watch your association.
Always watch your association. I'm running up now. Always watch your association. Whatever keeps you, whatever you keep around gets into you. So always watch your association. Watch it very well. Hallelujah. Major tips you need to read. The local church is where the gospel is taught. The local church is where the gospel is taught.
So as you go ahead to start your cell meetings, as you go ahead, looking into your cell meetings, your cell meeting curriculum again. As you go ahead, you must take note of this. You go back to your campuses. You take note of this. Hallelujah. You teach regularly. You teach regularly. The local church is the Bible school. It's the Bible school. You spend time to teach. Have regular teaching times. Have regular teaching times. Regular. With your disciples, have regular teaching times. Have times when you teach. See, this is the reason why we ask you to transcribe messages. Do you understand me? I was discussing with Pastor Wisdom yesterday. I discovered 2 days ago, when you transcribe a message, you will read, you will study to the details. Do you understand? You study to the details. What you have in your notice summary, transcribe, you will study to the details. That's the reason. So that you have time, quality time to teach. Teach, hallelujah. Spend quality time teaching. Teaching in your meetings, in the campuses, in the cell, teaching meetings and prayer meetings must be your regular. As an HCL, how many times have you called your cell leaders and their members and have a teaching and prayer meeting with them? Hallelujah. It must be a constant. Glory to God. You are discipling these ones. Glory to God. So teaching meetings and prayer meetings must be your regular meetings. These are some tips you need to know. Don't teach to know, to show your knowledge. It is a wrong attitude to teaching. Don't teach to show your knowledge that I know Greek and Hebrew. That I know you are... No. You are serving your belly. Don't teach to do that. Teach because you want men to know. Because you want to let men know. Teach because, I mean, your teaching should be about Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have praying times. Have praying times. Spend time to pray. Glory to God. Have time to pray. We are instructed on prayer. Have time to pray. Romans 15:21, Romans 15:30, Ephesians 6:18, Philippians 4:6, 1 Thessalonians 5:17-25, 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Colossians 4:3. Praying is important. Romans 12:12 is our service. It's our service. So prayer meeting should be predominant also. Must be predominant also. You also have meetings. You can have times where you just demonstrate the things of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 Demonstrate the things of the Spirit. You know, as we get off, as we come to the end of 2019 prayer retreat, what will you be found doing? How do I ask you? As you leave here today, what is your what are you taking with you? What are the words you're taking with you? What will you be found doing? What will you be found doing? How far do you want to go preaching Christ? How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Seeing that it is only Christ that is the center of your will, center of your plan, center of your actions. How far are you willing to go? Discipling that guy, discipling that lady. How far are you willing to go? What are you going to do with what is committed into your heart, into your hands? How active will you be in the work of ministry? How active will you be? How active will you be? Where is your fire? Where is your fire? Where is your fire? Is it time for commitment? Let's just bow down our heads and make that commitment again. Let's bow down our heads and make that commitment.